some years old, sought to clarify that for which we stood, and yet the question lingers, why do we come here? We come here initially, I think, in search of experiences, discoveries, and opportunities that we hope will, in ways yet to be known, enhance our lives, bringing qualities new, inspiring, and refreshing into the living of our days. So if we wish to know what brings us here, I would say that we arrive with the inclinations of the seeker. Being seekers, we might say, is our mandate as human beings and our calling as people of faith, as Unitarian Universalists. Years ago, when I served as minister to a small church in Massachusetts, another UU church nearby availed itself of a PR campaign the Unitarian Universalist Association, also nearby in Boston, was promoting. The tagline on the promo was something like, "We're not trying to change you. We like you just the way you are." It made me mad then, and it does today, because it seems so ignorant of the fact that if we were content to be just the way we are, why in God's name, or substitute the deity of your choice, would we bother coming to something called a faith community? In fact, if we were fine being just as we are, why would we go to the theater, attend concerts, hike, climb mountains, look for people to love, some of whom might care for us in turn? Why bother with a faith community at all? Our drive to be more than we are, better than we are, calls us here. And we ought to be proud, not ashamed of the fact that we do want to change, do wish to become better people, do wish to grow deeper in love and broader in wisdom. In his great novel, Howard's End, E.M. Forster has one of his characters say, "What is the good of your stars and trees, your sunrises and the wind, if they do not enter into our daily lives? Haven't we all had to struggle against life's daily grayness, against pettiness, against suspicion? I struggle by remembering my friends, others I have known by remembering some place, some beloved place." Living life on the interdependent web is neither a picnic nor a joyride. There are, after all, spiders. And death is universal, and pain. Pain of all sorts, many kinds. Loneliness. Life's gray moments, which fall on the sunniest, most beautiful day everyone else in your life seems to be enjoying. So we seek and seek to find, and we attempt to do some measure of our seeking here together. We explore ways to open our minds and our hearts to stars, trees, friends, thoughts, sharing hugs in solace, offering hugs in joy. Toward the conclusion of Howard's End, Forster writes of one of the principal characters, "Only connect." That was the whole of her sermon. "Only connect the prose and the passion, and both will be exalted, and human love will be seen at its height. Live in fragments no longer." Beautifully written and justifiably famous, the passage works well for our seeking. Only connect, and our lives, which are necessarily fragmentary, always seek wholeness. If we arrive here as seekers, then seeking is our process, but connection is our goal. Connection with people, beliefs, values, and the actions which emerge from those encounters. Something that has haunted us for some years has been to locate where our beliefs and values reside so we can readily recognize and call upon them. The process of establishing clarity and completion can be advanced by creating together a statement of congregational mission. And we would say that the process is equally, perhaps even more important than the outcome. But Do we possess guidelines, ideas, directions for our seeking and connecting? We don't start with nothing, do we? Well, as these questions were getting a little harder and more complicated, I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to turn to the Reverend Gretchen Haley, our assistant minister, and ask her to address what lingers.
What is the core purpose of the Foothills Unitarian Church? What is the precise thing that is ours, and just ours, to do in this particular time and place? To begin to answer these questions, I want to tell you a story. It's from my first year in seminary, when I interned as a chaplain at the Denver Women's Prison. Now, every Friday night at the prison, we'd gather for worship, which I quickly learned meant gathering around a CD player that was blasting what a Lutheran pastor friend of mine calls "Jesus is my boyfriend" music. You know the type. So the music, it would fill the room, and the women would sing with all their hearts, raising their arms, filled with passion, swaying together, singing, "Jesus, Jesus." As for me, well, I stood in the back, my arms firmly crossed, hoping to demonstrate to all who might look my way that this was not my thing. More than just feeling personally uncomfortable, I felt embarrassed for the women and for all this cheesy, superficial theology they had somehow embraced. And from this distanced and defended place, I watched. We Unitarian Universalists are a funny people, I think. So often resisting with our brains the experiences our hearts most crave. So often talking ourselves out of the love that stands so close we could almost eat it up if we would just let go. Love. To receive love like that would mean an ongoing journey, an ongoing willingness for vulnerability. An ongoing journey of transformation, being broken open and changed, born and reborn again. Now, on the surface, you might think this kind of path would come easily to us. I mean, we love to talk about change, after all. Well, or at least we do when it has to do with something out there, something we can theoretically direct and control and analyze. But let's be honest, when it comes to our personal lives, well, as Mark said it, we tend to like ourselves the way we are. So we cross our arms and stand back, hoping to avoid that deep discomfort that comes when you're facing something that just might change your life. We create communities where difference is masked and discomfort is minimized. We create lives that reassure us if something needs changing, it's out there, not in here in this messy, uncontrollable mess of the human heart. I mean, after all, it's dangerous business, this opening our hearts, this imagining who we might need to become, to love all the world and to be loved in return. My stance in the back of the worship space, it was like my own little force field that had me thinking much about systems of oppression, economic injustice, generational poverty, etc., etc., and therefore protecting me from any deeper engagement with the life in the room. But then, between each Friday worship service, the women would come and talk to me. And I started to get to know them, arms unfolded. And I heard their stories of greater loss than I could even fathom. More struggle than you'd think a single person could survive. And then Friday night would come again, and they'd sing, and they'd cry, and they'd laugh together, and release from their bodies just a little of the stories that I knew lived there. And one Friday night, I was standing there, and this song was playing. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, make it be like you. And suddenly it just hit me. I mean, it hit me who should really be embarrassed in the room. And in case it's not clear, it wasn't the women singing and swaying. In that moment, it hit me. The words, they didn't matter. The theology, Jesus as my boyfriend, humanized Father God, as centered as it was, it didn't matter. Because the room was filled with life, and there was just one person in the room who had failed to experience that life. Embodied there in the fellowship of women, singing about the possibility of healing and goodness and forgiveness and transformation. And so I started singing, change my heart, oh God. I stepped in closer and I started singing louder, make it ever true. Okay, yes, I was still totally uncomfortable. But I was leaning in to my discomfort, learning from it, letting it just be. Actually, it wasn't just uncomfortable. It was terrifying. To let down my defenses like that, to invite these words into my mouth without clarifying what I really did or did not believe, to sing with full voice about Jesus, how I believe in him and his love for me, how it saves me. It was terrifying to give in to the experience, knowing that I too had experienced pain and shame beyond what I was willing or able to name. It was terrifying just to be present in the midst of all that discomfort. In the midst of all that love. I was changed in that worship service. After that night, I know I could receive more people more fully, be with more people more fully, love the world more fully, and receive love more fully. And so when we speak about the core purpose of our congregations today, I always think of this story. We have for a long time as Unitarians emphasized our need to grow our minds. But when I really dig down into what our core purpose is today, where I always land is in our hearts. The core purpose of Unitarian Universalism today is to grow our hearts. What the world needs from us in this time and place is that greater capacity to love people more fully, to receive love more fully. We come, as Mark said, as seekers of knowledge and truth and beauty, and we come to forge those connections. And we do all of this in service of our core purpose, to grow our hearts. Healing our hearts of whatever obstacles we have within ourselves to receive one another, transforming whatever pain we carry with us, whatever grief or anger or frustration with the world and our lives as they used to be, as they are, as they never will be. Our core purpose as Unitarian Universalists, as religious people, is to grow our hearts. And then our purpose is to allow this internal growth to propel us into action in the world, to move us to share this love, and to let our healing become the world's healing, to keep on sharing the love, to find it impossible to keep this love to ourselves because our hearts overflow with kindness and compassion and gratitude, and so we must pass it on. What is the core purpose of the Foothills Unitarian Church? What is the thing that is ours to do? These are the questions the board is taking up as they lead our congregation toward a new mission statement for our time. What is the mission that beckons us, propels us forward? What I appreciate about these questions is that they remind us that we are not Unitarian Universalists in the general sense, but in the particular. They remind us we have our particular answers to these questions, which is one of many reasons we decided to end our service today with a very particular expression of the way we, the Foothills Unitarian Church, are living out our call to grow our hearts and to share our love with one another and the wider world.